Now, we do appreciate being with you, and we'd ask you to turn firstly to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, and we read at verse number 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. Verse number 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now we'll turn to chapter 39. Chapter 39 and verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse number 9. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Chapter 40. Verse number 7, and he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And look at chapter 40:41. And verse number 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one, and God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Now down the chapter, let your eye rest on verse 38, and Pharaoh said unto the servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now we'll move over to chapter 45, please. Chapter 45. And look at verse number 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye soul into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Now we'll move over to chapter 50. And look at verse number 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did evil, did unto thee evil. And now we pray you, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for who am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Verse 24, And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now that will suffice for reading. I was called upon to spend a few days in hospital. I didn't bring Mr. Darby's writings with me, for you need to be in the best of health to read them. But I did bring a number of biographies with me, and I found them to be light reading, and yet very searching. But of all the biographies that ever were penned, there's none as colorful as the biography of Joseph. And it has this in favor, that it's divinely inspired. For you'll always get somebody, when you're dead, to speak well about you. And you'll always get somebody when you're gone to write something about you that they wouldn't say when you're living. But the biography that we have of Joseph is divinely inspired. Just a lad of 17. Taken from his own home. To spend the most ambitious years of life in servitude and imprisonment. To get a call from the king. And from the prison cell to be placed in a seat of power in the greatest nation that then was then in the world. And we'll want to notice that in all the changing circumstances, of life. You'll notice a repeated expression. And the Lord was with Joseph. A man that retained fellowship with God in all the ups and down experiences in life. For we will notice, they could put a man in prison, but they couldn't shut out divine communications. I was just telling the friends last night that my preaching colleague and I, we visited a bachelor, and that's a pitiful sight. He lived in a very lonely spot, up a long lane in a countryside, and my colleague said to him, "Are you not lonely here?" "Lonely," he said. "There's a direct line of communication open to heaven, 24 hours of the day. How could I know that?" We want to take a look at Joseph, a lad of 17 years of age. And he's forming convictions that God has a purpose in my life. I'd like to say to the young in tonight's meeting, it's in those youthful years that you're going to form character. Is it not interesting that the man who was to feed the nation, how do we find him occupied as a lad of 17? He's feeding the flock with his brother. Did you notice the greatest leader that this world has ever known? In fact, Sir Winston Churchill rightly said, he said Moses was the greatest leader the world has ever known. Where do we find Moses? Well, we find him, and he's leading the flock of his father-in-law at the backside of the desert. God is going to train a man to feed the nation. And at 17, he's feeding the flock. God is going to raise up a mighty leader amongst his people. And he's leading the flock of his father. God is going to give his people a king. Oh, you remember on that occasion when Samuel went to the home of Jesse to anoint a king? One after another appeared before Samuel. And Samuel was to learn that the Lord's anointed had not appeared. And he said, have you had any son, more son? Oh, there's the younger. The youngest. What's he doing? Well, he keepeth. Did you notice how David did keep the sheep? Now, he didn't tell about it. The marvel is that he didn't tell about it until he was forced to do it. But he said, I kept the sheep of my father, the flock of my father, and there came a lion and there came a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and I took him by the beard and I slew him. If I had had an experience like that, I would have told you about it in every meeting. And when I did tell it, the head of the lion wouldn't get any smaller. But that night, David proved that he had a God who delivered him out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. God was fitting a man that would face a giant. And God was training a youth that was going to lead his people and feed them. What am I getting at? My young brother, it's likely in those early formative years you're setting a pattern that will mark you for the rest of your life. We'll take a look at it in those formative years. And we'll notice that he gained convictions. Oh, he's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac. He's the God of Jacob. But Joseph, you're going to have experiences of your own. You will notice that Isaac digged again. The wells which his father Abraham had digged, and he called them by the names that Abraham had called them by. Now the labor of an Abraham made the task of an Isaac easier. Did you ever think of the labor that some men put into those concordances that we use? Did their labor not make things easier for us? But Isaac, he made those wells his by experimental digging. By all means, use every help that you can get from brethren that have gone before you. But you need to form convictions of your own. Jacob had his experiences with God. And he could say, the blessing of thy father have exceeded the blessings of my progenitors. But now Joseph, he's going to have experiences of his own. And we'll notice how Joseph behaved when he was away from his father's house. Some young folk do quite well at home, you know. When you go away to university, or go away to nursing profession, and you're far removed from your father. Yes, and he has had this great disappointment in his brethren. For 20 years later, they couldn't expel from their minds the anguish of soul that was his when we sold him. Miserable man. Living with an accusing conscience for 20 years, we have wronged our brother. There's no man as miserable in life as a man that has wronged his brother. We'll notice how he behaved himself in the home of Potiphar. In servitude. The Lord was with Joseph. And we will take a look at how he behaved himself when temptation crossed his path. And the temptation that came the way of Joseph was something that would have been accepted in the corrupt society of Egypt. Was there ever a generation when moral standards lower quicker than in our generation. School children speak of matters now I had no knowledge of when I was 18 or 20. Standards in the world, they're lowering year by year. Anything would be accepted in our society today. Joseph, you're away from your brother now. Joseph, you're away from your father's house. Joseph, you're in Egypt now. We will notice that Joseph did not set his standards by Egyptian standards. But his life was governed by the divine standards. He said, "What is great wickedness in my father's house is great wickedness, and it's sin against God." Then we'll see how he fares when he rises to a seat of power. Joseph, you didn't feel very much at home in Potiphar's house, did you?
Slave.
Your dignified coat's gone. You're away from that place of affection you knew in your father's house. You don't feel very much at home, either, though. Joseph, you don't feel very much at home and present, do you? Oh, no, he says. Make mention of me to the king. But Joseph, you're dressed in fine apparel. You're riding in the chariot. And the king's command is, bow the knee. Joseph, you feel at home, don't you, in Egypt now? In the physical realm, I haven't got a great head for heights. If I must climb a ladder, I'm glad to get my feet on the ground again. Very few of us have a good head for height. Materialism is robbing many of us from fellowship with God. 80 years in Egypt, in a place of power. For you notice that he rose to power at 30. Egypt's your home now, Joseph. Forget about the land. No, no, he said. God will surely visit you. He says, carry my bones up. Said Joseph, I don't belong to Egypt. My hopes are centered in that inheritance that God has promised to my father. I love that. Now, Joseph, this is the biggest trial you have in your life. And what is it? It's how to handle your brethren that have wronged. You know, some of us, we could forgive the world for things we couldn't forgive our brethren for. Never. And to the amazement of his brethren, all the said, our father's dead now, and surely he'll certainly requite us. It was just out of respect for his father that he didn't put us in prison. He could have done that, you know. He says, I'm nourished. I believe that Joseph is one of the most delightful characters you have in your Bible. Oh, you can find the blemish in the lives of others. But Joseph went through life retaining fellowship with God. And he retained fellowship with God when he's dealing with his erring brother. As a boy in his teens, as a servant in Potiphar's house for 20 pieces of silver, it was the best bargain that ever went into Egypt. In the prison. In a place of power. And with his erring brethren. Notice that he dreamed a dream. And he learned by divine communication that God had a purpose in life for him. And it formed a conviction in his life. I think I quoted John Douglas. He was a Scot. A unique man. And he said this. He said, I would fight for my beliefs. He says, I would deal for my conviction. Well, to put that into English, he said, I would fight for my beliefs. He said, I would die for my convictions. And Joseph, whilst he's the God of Abraham, he's the God of Isaac, he's the God of Jacob. One time it had 50 sea widows who were fishermen in the one region. One sister, she had lost her husband and two sons in the one disaster. Later, there was a bad storm. And the townsfolk were down at the harbour waiting for the fleet to come home. The local clergyman was there and he said, God is good. Whether the whole fleet is home. But she was there and she said, God's good whether the whole fleet comes home or not. She didn't judge God for the circumstances in her life. 11 years later, we have Joseph. And there's no indication in life that God is going to fulfill what he has promised. But with conviction, do not interpretation to the home. Disappointed? Wasn't he in the butler? The butler forgot him? Would you believe that? God didn't forget him. And said he to Pharaoh, God has doubled the dream because it is sure. We have a man that has learned by conviction that he can accept the divine communication without question. That's forming character. And he's speeding. For you will notice that in those years God was training him. in administration. Notice the testimony that he had in Potiphar's house. He wotteth not what is in his house. And Joseph, or Potiphar, he committed all that was in his house. And he didn't even keep stock. For Potiphar would have told you, I have learned that this Hebrew servant that I have purchased, in his administration, he's such a man, I wouldn't even take stock of what's in his hand. There wasn't another man in Egypt that Potiphar would have done that with. The Lord was with you. Are you in an awkward job? Are you placed in difficult circumstances in your line of business? I asked you, was Joseph not in a difficult situation? Taken from that place of dignity he knew in his father's house, and sold for 20 pieces of silver and made the slave in the home of Potiphar. Potiphar, you have got a really good bargain. But Joseph is learning the skill of administration, for God had greater things in mind for him. I did notice that with the temptation in the life of Christ, did you notice when that temptation came? It was immediately after God had opened the heavens and in a signal way honored the person of his Son. God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, and immediately he's in the wilderness. It's when we're doing well, you know, that we're more likely to be the target of Satan's attack. If an assembly is doing well, don't you boast. I remember a brother saying, he says, I consider our assembly the best in this whole county. It wasn't many years until he came to me with a sad tale of conditions in his assembly. And just when Joseph is getting honored in the home of Potiphar, temptation came his way. And again I say, it was a temptation that would have been accepted in Egypt's society. The standards were such that that behavior would have been acceptable in their society. But Joseph didn't set his standards by the standards of Egypt. And those standards are unchanging for today. Such behavior is great wickedness and sin against the Lord. And in our corrupt society, for those with fellowship with God, it demands moral purity. Irrespective of conditions about us, to retain fellowship with God, moral purity is demanded. he's cast into prison. The place where the king's prisoners were.
For the Lord was with Joseph.
I believe Joseph was a happier man in prison than his brethren, living with their accusing conscience for 20 years. Miserable men they were. But I like this. When he spoke to the butler and baker, "Do you know what happened to me? My own brethren sold me for 20 pieces of silver." "You did indeed, my own brethren."
"No, he did not. I wouldn't let the Egyptians know about that," he said.
"He said it was verily stolen out of my own country." "Well, that was true, you know. Now, when he faced his brethren, he said, 'Ye sold me.' But I wouldn't tell the Egyptians that." Hope you don't tell the unregenerate about the weaknesses of your brethren, do you? Hope you don't speak about it before your family. "No, no," he said. "I wouldn't divulge how my brethren have treated me to the Egyptians. I was stolen out of my own country." "Yes, that was right." And he said, "I've done nothing worthy that I should be in prison." And the keeper of the prison just committed everything into the hand of Joseph. He's learning again the skill of administration. God is training a man in adverse circumstances for position of administration. Did you notice? He will train Moses in the art of leading. He will train David in the art of keeping.
"Oh," said David's brother,
"with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Just a few sheep." He said, "Thy servant kept my father's." What were they to Jacob's or to David's brethren? "Oh, just a few sheep in the wilderness." What were they to David's heart? "They were my father's sheep." He said, "I would jeopardize my life to save a lamb because it belongs to my father." That's a shepherd's heart. You remember when the apostle was bidding farewell to the elders from Ephesus, he said, "Feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood, or the blood of his own." How do we look on the flock? Remember, they belong to your father. Said the apostle, "Remember that they have been purchased at a great price with the blood of his own." The sheep are very precious to the Father's heart. You know, that night, David was proving God. He was proving that he had a God that could save him from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear. But God was proving David that he had a man that he would trust the care of his inheritance to. Says David, "I have a God that I can trust to face a giant. God, I have a man that I can trust the care of my people, the flock of my family."
training in youth. Character being formed in those early days. Paul before the king, raised to a seat of power. Notice how God works. Joseph's brethren have wronged him. Egypt has put a righteous man in prison. The butler has forgotten about him. God hasn't forgotten. God has a very good memory, you know.
Shall we indeed bow down to you, said those brethren. God says you're going to bow, man.
God brought a famine on a nation that had acted unrighteously to Joseph. God brought his brethren into straitened circumstances.
God's going to fulfill his purpose. Joseph, you're going to learn that God has a care for you. And if God has given you a revelation in those early years, God will fulfill that revelation.
John Wesley saw a great revival in his days. That was a work of God, you know. You never forget that. But he did come across small companies in Germany that were patterned by the scripture. Who said, it's the scripture way together, but it wouldn't work in Britain. Dear Wesley, God's pattern will work. If God has a purpose in life for a young man, he can fulfill it.
Shall we indeed bow and abide in the presence of Jesus?
Notice his skill in handling erring brethren, the most difficult task that any of us could encounter is to retain fellowship with God when we have been wronged by our brethren. And yet it is the occasion when I see Joseph in his brightest color. He just left it to God. When they came, you know, with that false plea, we're all sons of one man. We're verily true men. Joseph didn't make himself known. He opened the bow, and he heard them say, we were verily guilty concerning our brother Joseph. When we saw the anguish of his soul, oh, what miserable men for 20 years with an accusing conscience. Brother, if you're not right with your brethren, you're not a happy man. Brother, if you've wronged your brethren, you're not a happy man. Job's friends, well, I think miserable comforters are you all. When Job needed the comfort of his friends most, they became his prey. What did God say? Go to Job. He'll offer a sacrifice. He'll pray for you. What does that mean? you have not spoken right of me concerned as my servant Job. Now you go to Job. In other words, the way to restoration to God for Job's friends was reconciliation with Job. Go to Job.
I think that's what James means in his epistle, you know. Confess your faults one to the other and pray for one another. You friends of Job, you go to the man that you have wronged and confess your faults. That's the way of recovery. And Job, you rise to the place where you'll pray for him. These early brethren, oh, I like this.
The heart of Joseph went out to him.
Oh, he was in a place of power. All he had to do was put them into stocks and put them in the prison and it's where they ought to be.
So he said, come near unto me, my brethren.
It was a shock to them, you know. Oh, he speaks to him. He sold me. He did. But God was in it to save much people alive.
But see, Peter, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Do you know there are times when you just have to leave your case in the high court? Leave your case in the hands of God. Says Joseph, God was in it. And he says, I'll nourish you. Oh, said those men, he'll certainly requite us for the evil that we have done. Oh, we have sinned to those fathers.
He says, I'll nourish you. I believe Joseph has written to his highest name. God was with Joseph.
We said now, 80 years of prosperity, a place in Egypt, as Joseph's chariot drove past, the word was, bow the knee.
He's got the supreme place of authority.
Do you know even in the assembly there's some men, and you couldn't entrust them with any authority? Did you know? Of course you're not Irish man, but that's the stuff an Irish man knows. Put him up and he'd put everybody else down.
Oh, that's not the way in God's order of things.
That's the way you behave in politics. That's the way you can behave in the business world. You can just make the necks of your fellow men the steps that you get to the top.
Did you notice the one that God has exalted, given a name that is above every name? Stooped and he washed the feet of the disciples.
Wasn't a man amongst them, you know, to do it. They were prepared to sit down for the Passover feast with unwashed feet rather than one of those men stoop to wash the feet of their brethren. Oh, there was contention as to which of them shall be the greatest. We'd like that place. But just to take the place of the least and serve, they would sit down to eat the Passover with unwashed feet. Oh, what a rebuke.
Their Lord and Master. Stoop. God has given them a name that is above every name. Now to Joseph. God will surely visit you. He'll fulfill His promise. He'll bring you out. He says, don't leave me in Egypt. 80 years of prosperity, he says, hasn't won my heart to Egypt. My place is with my fathers. My prospects, he'll surely visit you and bring you out. None of us has had the trials that Joseph had. Yet the Lord was with Joseph. I trust He'll bless our meditation. Shall we pray?
Our Father, another time we bow before Thee in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we can say our times are in Thine hand. The poet could say, why should I doubt or fear? My Father's hand shall never cause His child a needless tear. My times are in Thine hand, Jesus the Crucified. Those hands my many sins had pierced. They're now my guard and guide. Such was His love for us that He gave Himself to make us His own. We think of His request, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me, that they might be with me and behold my glory. The seated Christ on the throne of glory, His heart is not satisfied, nor will it be satisfied until He has His blood-bought bride to share that glory. Soon we'll be in His presence. We'll never grieve His heart again. Preserve our affections set on things above, and preserve us unspotted from the world, we pray, in the worthy precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 329, please. We'll sing just one verse. I am Thine, O Lord, I've heard Thy voice, and it told Thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Just one verse and chorus of number 329.